You're listening to SBS News.
Benedette Angus lives in the remote Western Australian community of Ardyalloon on the Dampier Peninsula, more than 2,500 kilometres from Perth. The first thing she does when she wakes up in the morning isn't check her phone or the weather.
Hello, this is a typical house in Ardyalloon.
It's the small digital screen fixed to her wall, her electricity meter. When the number on the meter hits zero, the lights go dark. That's because here and in many remote Indigenous communities across Northern Australia, households don't receive electricity bills. Instead, they prepay for power, topping up credit much like a mobile phone, and when the money runs out, the power cuts off almost instantly.
All depends, you know, like if you got a job. If you want the dollar, well, you have to just live from week to week. Because $20, it's only, what, it'll only last maybe one day. All depends on what you got. You know, like you got a deep freezer, and you got a fridge and an air conditioner. But when my kids come back, I'll have all three going.
A day's worth of power can cost $20 to $40, sometimes even more during the summer heat. Benedette says she's constantly rationing her usage, especially when her three kids are home. Back on the road, about 27 kilometres south, in the neighbouring Indigenous community of Jarajin.
If I was David, I would have go to the shop and buy $20 power.
Audrey Shadfirth has a similar story. Audrey says her power ran out just a night before we interviewed her.
We had power all night, then about 9 o'clock it'll go off. By 8:40 I said, we have to hurry up and look for power, you know, look for some money to pay for power. Well, that's only gave me one few minutes.
Across Australia, around 15,000 First Nations households use prepaid electricity. For most, it's not a choice. It's the only option their retailer offers. A report by Regional Power, together with Notre Dame's Noolungur Research Institute and Western Sydney University, reveals just how widespread the issue is. It found some 65,000 First Nations people live under mandatory prepayment systems, with homes disconnected on average more than 30 times a year. Lloyd Pigram is from the Broome Noolungur Research Institute. He's one of the researchers who conducted interviews in remote communities to help deliver the report called The Right to Power.
Old people, chronic illnesses, running out of power as we were doing it, to people actually needing top up. So as we were doing the interviews, it's hard not to get emotional or get angry because it's like, you know, the power's off and they're actually not long to live, the doctors give them, you know, or they're struggling to, you know, they need the power on.
The reason for this is that in remote parts of Australia, many communities were never connected to the main power grid and relied on small local systems, which made billing and payments hard to manage. So power companies introduced prepaid meters, ensuring bills were covered up front, but also creating a system where regulators have focused more on collecting payments than protecting people's right to power. Dr. Josie Douglas from the Central Land Council says without stronger consumer protections, communities will continue to fall behind national Closing the Gap targets.
Out of the four jurisdictions, the Northern Territory fares the worst. This is outrageous. Aboriginal people in remote communities are experiencing 59 disconnections per year. We know that the disconnections have a very strong correlation with heat. When the temperature rises, disconnections increase.
The report warns that with extreme heat becoming more frequent, the consequences of power loss can be deadly. The CEO of Energy Consumers Australia, Brendan French, says that no electricity means no refrigeration for food or medication, no cooling, and no access to safety alerts during heatwaves or cyclones.
Tens of thousands of households living without the consumer protections that you and I enjoy, and also none of the opportunities. There's an irony that in the centre of Australia, with 100 days over 35 degrees, people can't get access to solar power to reduce their bills. The brilliance of this report, though, is that it doesn't just focus on history or injustice and inequality. It focuses on the roadmap.
In a statement, Climate and Energy Minister Chris Bowen said the government has received the report and appreciates the information about energy security in remote communities, but has stopped short of any firm commitments, saying energy delivery remains the responsibility of states and territories. A Western Australian government spokesperson said it will consider the report's recommendations, highlighting Horizon Power's rollout of advanced metering and solar programs to improve reliability and energy equity in remote communities. The Northern Territory government also says it would also review the report and consider any recommendations to improve coordination or simplify access to relief programs, while Horizon Power added that it provides hardship support and energy coaching, but that wider policy decisions rest with government. With extreme weather events like heatwaves predicted to become more frequent, keeping the power on has never been more important. Back in Adialoon, Bernadette Angus says her community has learned to look after one another.
That's what all families do, you know, they help each other out. Even today when someone catch a turtle or something, we all go there, they tell us, you know, bring us up, or come here, come on, come over for a feed. Yeah, so nobody stops.
Christopher Tan, SBS News.